Listeners, this is Barry Mack from Irish Australian Radio, and on the line we have James Nelson from the Celtic Tenors. And welcome to Australia, James. Lovely to talk to you again.
Thank you very much indeed, Barry. It's great to be here. We've literally just arrived a couple of hours ago.
I know that. I'm looking at your itinerary as well. My God, you guys are going to have to be pretty fit to get through all that.
And you direct that at the least fit of the Celtic Tenors. No, we don't even have actual days off. We've just travel days. But sure, isn't it a lovely place to be travelling around? You know, it's great. We just finished in Canada and then the US, and now we're here. So, this is only our second ever proper tour of Australia, even though we're not going to the west or the north. So it's just lovely to be here. And the best coffee in the world, Barry, we discovered the last time, truly is the best coffee anywhere we've been.
Well, I've checked out the coffee in Canada and America, and it's horrible stuff. It's like you put it on your... You wouldn't put it on weeds for fertilizer.
I have no comment on that, sir. I know.
it's not an ambush. Relax, it's okay.
I'm only messing. I've gotten so much trouble before for getting into politics and everything in the US and everything, and I've been so careful ever since. So I'm definitely not going the political route in Australia either. Oh, I just didn't I?
No, don't be worried. Your band has been described as a charismatic, globe-trotting trio, the most successful classical crossover artist ever to come out of Ireland. You do the country proud, you lot. You really do.
Well, you know, they're very kind words, but I suppose what we do is very different to all the others. I mean, there are really fantastic groups like the High Kings touring all over the place and everything. But they do just really the Irish stuff. I suppose what we add, the three of us met in the world of opera, and what we add is the fact that we do sing Nessun Dorma, and we do sing, like La Donna Mobile from Verdi and stuff, and the Brindisi from Traviata. But then on top of that, the last album before this new album, the Irish Songbook one, was done out of Sydney, actually, from Universal, and it was songs like John Denver's Calypso and Dolly Parton and The Boxer, Simon and Garfunkel. I think anything with harmony, that's the other thing that we call ourselves, a very harmony-based group, and we absolutely love our harmonies. There's no egos, hopefully, in the Celtic Tenors, maybe apart from Daryl, but the rest of us, we're happy not to just belt out the tune the whole time. We're very happy to do harmonies, you know. We love our harmonies.
Well, you have a knack of picking the correct songs to suit your style. You're a breath of fresh air, the three of you. It's wonderful that you're back again. It must be a hell of a struggle to get all the way the other side of the world. Would you prefer to travel through Europe? I guess it'd be better for you with all those little countries close together.
Well, you know, we do a little bit in Europe as well, but still, we do the Netherlands and Germany and everything, but we have kind of really, this is part of the world that we haven't really explored until quite recently, and it was originally a guy called Robert Rigby who got assigned to Universal out of Sydney, but now we have an incredibly wonderful promoter agent in the form of Harley Metcalf and Duet Group, and honestly, he just puts these tours together, which we just... We've never had tours anywhere across the world like here, and also the publicity and the coverage he gives us is just wonderful for a group that's been together for 20 years, actually, Barry. You know, we've been together literally since 1999 when we were signed to EMI, who are now kind of gone, you know. we've been together a long time, and this, honestly, it's such a fun and such a well-organized tour. And we're going to do Tasmania as well, and New Zealand. I've corrected, of course, that Tasmania is a province, of course, of Australia, which I knew, really, but I was corrected online for that as well. So I'm sorry to the lady who I had to apologise to.
you'll really enjoy Tasmania. It's a beautiful island state. It's really, really lovely. You'll even notice the freshness of the air down there. It's really lovely.
We went there the last time we did the Opera House in Hobart, which was so beautiful. But unfortunately, there's sometimes dates, and we get this in America and Canada as well, that you finish meeting the people after the show and you get back to the hotel, probably midnight. And in Hobart, our lobby call in the hotel was 1:45 a.m. So we didn't get to see any of Tasmania, really, apart from driving across in the afternoon. So hopefully this time we've got a bit more time to see it. And Hobart was so beautiful. I'd love to have spent a day or two there, but sure, that's not how it goes always, sadly. And then we're going across, of course, to Auckland and also Christchurch, which will be kind of emotional for many reasons as well, you know. And we love our brief trips to New Zealand in the past, and again, there's another brief trip there, but you know, we have some amazing dates as well. We're in Byron Bay as well. I've never been there, but I've seen pictures, and my sister fell in love with the whole of New South Wales and just loved it here, worked here for a year many years ago, so she's quite jealous that I'm over here now at this stage.
You'll be a good cure for New Zealand. It'll really cheer them up.
Well, I think that's what we want to kind of get across as well, that, you know, sometimes the work, the name works against us, you know, the Celtic tenors. Sometimes people say, Celtic music, yeah, I've had enough of that. Tenors, not sure about opera. But you know yourself that, you know, every couple of songs we change to a different repertoire. Like, we have a real eclectic mix in the show, from opera to obviously Irish and Celtic and Scottish and all that kind of thing, to Simon and Garfunkel, to a very silly comic song, to an a cappella which could be very emotional. Like, obviously we do Danny Boy, but we have other a cappellas as well. There's one that we sang for the Anzacs a few years ago for the anniversary at Gallipoli, and it's All the Fine Young Men by Eric Bogle, and it's a very powerful a cappella. We might be putting that into the show as well. We're not sure. We've so many songs after 20 years, it's hard to know which ones to choose.
Well,
one that would have resonance, I know, with the Anzacs.
Try and cheer them up. Don't bring them to tears, because you're so talented. You could do either very easily.
So we kind of want to stress the feel good and the kind of that we don't take ourselves seriously. And the whole world is a bit down at the moment for whatever reason, whether it's Brexit or the U.S. political situation or whatever, you know, and maybe even Australia as well, I believe, is wrapped up in all the election stuff and everything. So hopefully we'll be a bit of a tonic on our tour.
Well, your timing is perfect. How does it feel to be towards the end of a crazy federal election in this country?
Well, we kind of just don't even go there. We're aware of it, and we've been told what's happening and that kind of thing, but we're certainly not, you know, I mean, once or twice we got in trouble in America by referring to a wall, perhaps.
Yes.
And we've been booed once or twice even. In Canada, where it's easier to do that kind of thing, we talk about, Justin Trudeau building a wall on the south border, and that gets a big laugh and a big cheer, you know. But we try and stay away from religion and politics. We've actually just finished, the second time ever, we did a luxury coach tour of Ireland.
Lovely.
And we'd love some Aussies to come on it, actually, the next time. But, of course, it's a long way away. It's mostly Americans, Canadians, some Europeans, Germans, and Dutch, and even a Swiss couple as well. We went right around, first time where we're from, Daryl's from Omagh, County Tyrone.
Yes.
And Matthew's from Kells and County Meath, and I'm Sligo. So we did those places, and then Dublin and Belfast. But the second tour we did, which is just literally finished 4 days ago, we went for much more obvious places. We basically did Dublin and the Wild Atlantic Way, from Cork, Kerry, Clare, even Limerick, St. John's Castle, and obviously Cliffs of Moher and the Burren and all that, and then Connemara. And there wasn't even one drop of rain in 8 days. So a lot of people have the misconception that Ireland is dry and sunny, which is kind of hilarious. But both tours, we had sun the whole time. It was great. What an advert for the country. Like Sleighhead down on Dingle Peninsula, possibly one of the most beautiful places in the country. Sun was splitting the rocks.
You don't go to Ireland for the weather, but you were extremely lucky. I know that I spent a bit of time in Ireland and for about 8 days or so. I don't think it was the same time as you, but again, no rain. The weather was fantastic.
It's amazing. It really is amazing. And on the first tour, the same as well. I think it rained a wee bit in Kells and Omagh, but the heavens opened in Sligo, like with sun. I mean, not as wonderful with rain, and the place was just. And I just said, of course, there's always like this in the northwest, which would be a lie.
Absolutely. I read somewhere where you were touring over in China or that direction, and you learned or you were actually maybe performing for a Chinese audience, and you learned a song in Mandarin, and they.
It took forever to learn it. I still know it. We did. We did a tour with the Fujian Symphony Orchestra. So they came with us for every venue, apart from one in Luzhou. But we went to Shanghai and Nanchang and Hangzhou and all these cities. We didn't do Beijing, but the orchestra came on the flights with us. We did a tour in China with an 80-piece symphony orchestra, and we brought our own David Brophy, who's a conductor in Ireland, a great conductor. He was with us on the tour, so that was a real... I'd love to go back. It was culture shock in the extreme, and I'd never been to China, and none of us had ever been to China. And Daryl, actually, from the north, is gluten-free. He's a celiac, So that was a bit of a challenge when the food was actually moving on your plate to try and get out. They didn't really understand the concept of gluten-free, I think, in China at that stage. But I'd love to go back. There are other places I'd love to see, or Japan, you know. We really still have a hunger for travelling and seeing places and meeting people. You know, so that's why when Australia and New Zealand came on board, we were really, really happy. Of course, there's still unhappy people in Australia, and apologise to them that we're not going to Perth or Darwin. You know, we've had complaints.
They can go to you. Interesting to know that Daryl is celiac. You know, that's a sign of intelligence, because I'm also celiac.
Are you actually?
I am indeed, yes.
Definitely is. I mean, if he has it, he's sick for a week.
I think it's an Irish thing.
His father was diagnosed the same week.
So. I have a theory that it's a throwback from the famine days, believe it or not.
Wow.
There's a missing enzyme.
You won't be telling him it's a sign of intelligence. You can believe that now, Barry, and I'm sure it's, in your case it's true, but I'm certain you don't have to have a big enough head.
And some things are hard to digest, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe I should get tested. I should be kind of handy. I could maybe lose a bit of weight and look more like my pictures again.
Well, your pictures, you're coming across very well in the picture department anyway. That's for sure.
I lose weight for the photo shoots and then put it on again during the year, and I spend the year saying, that's me on the right.
How do you keep fit? Do you get in a bit of sport or anything, or anybody plays sport?
You know, when you're in Australia, it's great because the weather is, like, I mean, compared to Ireland, it's mostly every day it is dry and sunny, so we can have a good walk before breakfast at least or something, you know. But we would go to, I hate the gym, if there's a swimming pool, I'll do 100 lengths of crawl or something, which would be great. That's my ideal exercise, is swimming. I lost 75 pounds way back in 1999 for the first photo shoot.
Ever since then I
put on.
I lost 75 pounds once as well, but it was on a horse.
Oh, very good.
Sorry about that.
I might use that actually.
That's all gone metric now, so I don't think you can use it anymore. Tell me this. Have you ever got into, James, you ever get into any strife on stage? Did you ever actually forget the song you were singing?
You do, but the thing is, you could stress yourself too much, you know, about it, like remembering. If you actually thought about, like, every night we would normally do 12 songs in each half, so 24 songs. If you were to think about the amount of words in different languages that are in your head at any one time, you could be too paranoid. It's also even the health thing as well. You know, like, we're touring, we did three nights with the Winnipeg Symphony in December, and, like, well, actually, we were lucky again, it was sunny when we were there, but it's often minus 40 Celsius.
Yeah, Winnipeg,
you know,
yeah.
Like, you wrap up, but you don't get paranoid, because your paranoia can get you sick, you know, so you're not too precious. We're not really typical tenors. We have the tenor range, but we don't have the egos or the preciousness, I think, maybe. So, yeah, you can be too paranoid, and also about the lyrics thing and the music and everything. I mean, if you make a mistake, it's not, I often think that, you know, it's not, in the scheme of things, it's not a shipload of migrants capsizing in the Mediterranean, you know.
No, true.
It's a very small thing. People laugh, and we each forget words sometimes. Not so much, hopefully, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not a big deal, really.
At least one would come to the rescue of the other, perhaps, you know.
Well, that's an ideal world where it doesn't happen either. Sometimes we just laugh.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, or start again.
Do you find that in different parts of the world, for example, Canada has low humidity and here we have high humidity, does that have an effect on your vocal cords?
Not really. The one thing that does have, for me anyway, well, certainly, red wine, it definitely has an effect on me. I can't sing after red wine. Mm. But the other thing is the air conditioning thing, especially in the US, they're big into their air conditioning. You go in, even in the winter, and you go into your hotel room and there's cold air blowing in the room. You just think, I mean, as we actually explained to some of the Americans and Canadians on our bus tour just now, air conditioning in Ireland is open a window, you know.
That's right.
If you're too hot and you're like, open the window. But, no, they were, one or two complained about the lack of air conditioning in some of the Irish hotels, and they were staying in beautiful hotels. So, yeah, that certainly, for me now, if I was sleeping in air conditioning, I'd wake up in the morning with a bit of a croaky throat. And even, you know, long flights, which we've just literally done. We've been flying for the last 26 hours, essentially, from Dublin to Dubai, and then just a two-hour turnaround, and then Dubai to Sydney.
It's awful.
And you're on, like, there's a lady blowing her nose the whole way from Dublin to Dubai, and I thought, oh, gosh, stop it now. I was getting a little bit paranoid, but again, you know, you take the precautions. I get the flu jab now every year, stuff like that. So psychologically think, no, I'm grand, I'm fine. Air conditioning would be the one thing, or on airplanes as well, air. If you thought about it too much, you could mess yourself up, I think.
Does that mean that you would never ever sing a Chris de Burgh song called Red, Red Wine?
I love his stuff, and I would sing the song, but I would certainly not drink it. No, it's something about the tannin in wine, for me, and I've heard it with many other singers as well, that basically, if I had a glass of red wine and then I drank 3 litres of water, I'd probably be okay, but there's no point in that, you know.
No.
Have white wine, or have none at all.
Yeah. Well, it's also
that's good for the throat too, I think.
There's a lot of preservative and rubbish in it anyway, see?
Yes, exactly.
That's the danger with it, yeah.
Yeah.
And who would be your favourite singer, James, or who would influence you most in your singing career?
I have the same tenor who we both just adored and loved his music and loved his singing. His voice was basically Jussi Björling, the Swedish tenor.
Okay.
He was Pavarotti's favourite tenor, but sadly, like so many singers, he drank himself to death and was, towards the end of his life, was found drunk, about to go on stage in Covent Garden and that kind of thing, and so sad. He should have been around for another long time, giving masterclasses to people like us, you know. He would be my favourite classical tenor. But of course I love the three, I mean, Domingo, Carreras and Pavarotti. I mean, Pavarotti, the voice, but Domingo, the actor and the voice. So Domingo would be my second favourite, I think, overall. But then the pop tenors, the Freddie Mercury's and Roy Orbison's and all those kind of really high stratospheric pop voices as well. I love them too. And then harmony-wise, I'm afraid I have to say, like the ABBAs and the Beatles and Queen as well, just the harmonies in those really I've always loved.
I remember when ABBA won the Eurovision,
they
did a song in English as well as Swedish, and I think that really got them over the line. But they were the part, and they looked their part, didn't they? They really did.
They had this new look with the high boots and stuff, and it was great. It was absolutely brilliant. And now Australia is in the Eurovision.
Well, that's right. So is Israel. It's being held in Israel.
Not sure what's going on. I mean, with the poor Marty Whelan, who does the comparing for RTE in Ireland for the Eurovision. He's getting a lot of flack online at the moment, and nobody would ever attack Marty, but they're sort of saying they're disappointed that he's doing it. And
really?
We had a lovely interview with him last week. He made his album of the week on Lyric FM in Ireland with our new CD, and he's getting a lot of flack about the fact that he's in Israel doing this.
Some people have little to do, really.
Absolutely. Well, it's not really a political competition, is it? I know that, you know, by being there, maybe you're supporting, I don't know. Yeah, no.
Well,
too much.
I mean, they want it. Whatever country wins it has to host it. That's
well,
the way
exactly.
But it's hard to believe that somebody outside Europe could actually win it.
Yes, it really is. And there've been all the Azerbaijans and all the different ones, Ukraine as well. And I mean, Australia probably win it some year, won't they? They have to.
I don't know, but this year they're doing really well. They're in third place at the minute, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Indeed. Listeners, we're speaking to James Nilsson from the Celtic Tenors, and it's a pleasure that you've come back to us. The last time you were here, I think you were touring with Celtic Women, is that correct? Or was that
no,
the one before?
We did tour with Celtic Women a few years ago.
All right.
But we actually had our own tour last year as well here.
Yes, there.
We did all different venues. We still did New South Wales and stuff, but we didn't do... They're all brand new venues this time. I think maybe the ones that are nearest are around Sydney or Castle Hills and Penrith, maybe. Would that be right? My geography wouldn't be great.
Correct, yes. You're going to be on the 31st of this month, you're going to be in Castle Hill in the RSL there, and I'll be letting the listeners know all of your venue.
You're very good. Thank you very much.
No, I it's a real pleasure talking to you, and I'm sorry that we weren't able to catch up this time. The last time, a few times before, you actually did a show with me on one of my live shows.
Absolutely.
It was brilliant, and I remember that, to make sure that I remembered everybody's name, I put your name in front of it and I said, do not move, and somebody said immediately, we will not move.
Well, if you can come to a show, Barry, just get in touch with Harley or whoever, or Diana, and just let us know, and we'll make sure it happens if you can come to one.
I will definitely do that, and I'll get you on my website, and we'll
If you have our new album, we must get an Irish songbook. We must send you one of those if you don't.
Please do. I don't have it and I would like to get it. I'll be in touch with your promoter and I'll ask about that. But you'll be in Sydney.
I'll send you one because it's brand new. Like, it's literally only out a few weeks. And, you know, we've been together 20 years and we've never done an album of all Irish songs. We've done a few Irish songs, obviously, on most of the albums, but never complete Irish albums. And all the obvious ones that people will love.
I do have several, but I remember when I caught up with you last, I had an album that was about nearly as old as me, and the three of you were very impressed. It's still good quality, and I did play it. Looking, I know that you're just off the plane, and I don't want to keep you going because I know you're probably totally exhausted.
Very grand. We have a few more interviews to come as well, but you're my first, so
oh my
it's lucky to chat to you, Barry. Thank you so much for your support and everything, and hope to see you at a show. Let us know if you can come and message us.